Our reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. You may be seated.
What a blessing it is to be able to gather and worship. Before we begin our study, let me mention that I think we should go to God in prayer for our topic, but especially at this time to remember our sister Jerry Wade. And she's having a very important and big surgery this coming Wednesday of open heart surgery and replacing a valve and doing triple bypass. And they're able to be with us this morning. And her and Kenny and family will be down there and involve an extended stay at Vanderbilt. And so let's pray God's blessings upon her and this upcoming surgery. Father, we ask your blessings will be with Jerry, and we especially pray for this surgery. We pray that she'll be able to have a full recovery and it will bless her life. We pray that you'll bless the doctors and nurses as they tend to her needs, and we pray for that everything can just go well with the surgery. We know it's a very serious surgery. And we ask your peace and your comfort to be with her. We pray for Kenny and his health and for all the family as they go to Nashville and go about this process, which places a lot of stress and difficulty upon them. And Father, as a church family, we want them to know that we love them and we care for them, and we're grateful for them, and we pray God's blessings upon them. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.
Brad, can you change out my microphone batteries? I'll use them. I thought I went silent during the prayer, or the mic quit, so I'll just use the pulpit today, which will be fine. Taking church membership seriously, research between 2004 and 2010 of 557 churches found that 9 out of 10 churches were declining or not growing in comparison to their communities. Why? Why are churches not growing? We could blame it on our secular culture. We could blame it on godless politicians. We could blame it on church leaders. But I think when you think about the real blame, it really comes down to all of us. And when you think about who is the most basic Christian identifying mark that all of us share, it is that of a church member. The preacher's a church member. The elders are church members. Deacons or church members and their wife, we're all at our most basic level. When someone says, where do you go to church? What member? Where are you a member of? You're a church member. And ultimately, all church members have to take responsibility for the church. And many churches are weak because individuals are weak. Many leaderships are weak because many church members who compose those leaders and make up, and the church has to choose from those leaders, are weak. Maybe this weakness and the problem gets back to the meaning of membership. So when you think about what does it mean to be a member? Well, first of all, consider our culture. Membership in our culture is about privilege. Remember the American Express commercials? Membership has privileges. Membership has privileges. When you think about joining a club, whether it's a country club or a swimming club or something like that, you pay a due monthly. And once you pay that due, you then have access to all the privileges of that facility. You can go play golf there. You can go to the swimming pool there. Whatever. You pay a due and you're a member. And if you're not a member, you can't go to that club. Now, We even have this in the other organizations. For example, the YMCA. If you want to go there and exercise or do things, you can get a visitor pass for a little bit, but at some point you're going to have to pay membership dues to become a member. Or even a subscription TV service or a streaming service like Netflix. You might get a 1 month free trial, but at some point you're going to have to become a member and pay a monthly due. Now that's the expectation. Now notice what comes with that expectation. You get access to certain privileges. There's also a sense of entitlement. In other words, if I don't think the country club is doing a good job, or they're not providing me services, then guess what? You're going to quit paying your dues. You're going to get out of the club. Or if you quit exercising and you're no longer using the YMCA, you're probably going to quit paying your membership dues. So there's a real sense of where, as membership in our culture, we expect services. We think it's about paying money and getting something from it. And we feel entitled, and there's obviously some legitimate entitlementcy to that. In other words, we should, because we're part of it, and we should expect certain things. Now the problem is, that's membership in our culture. But then we bring that over to the church if we're not careful. And so we can then apply membership in the church as the same. That is, it's about privilege. It's about having certain functions or services done for us. And if we don't like those services, we either stop paying our money, we quit attending, or we get upset. Because it's about getting things from what we pay, what we do, our membership. What I want you to think about is that church membership is not about privilege, but is about service. It's about service. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 9, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession." Notice Peter is describing what it means to be a church member. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're God's own people. But notice the purpose of this membership is that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Later in chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, Peter would say, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another." He's talking about we're a one another people. You're all members of one another. Verse number 10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another." You see, in the church, when you become a member, it's not about all the privileges you get. But biblically speaking, it's about you're called to serve. That you then have a responsibility. That you are saved to save others. You are saved to give your love and your gratitude back to God. So there's three things that I would like to say to kind of help us flesh this out a little more about church membership being about service. First of all, I would suggest that church membership begins with commitment. It begins with commitment. When you think about my little diagram here on the PowerPoint of circles of commitment, the outer circle is the uncommitted. These people aren't attending church at all. They're not committed to this congregation, to this church. Before they, at some point, they move to the next circle, which would be attendance. They start attending church. Now we understand there might be a few cases where you have a shut-in or things like that who can't attend, but they're a member. But we're talking about in those who are of our general population out there, they're not a member of the church. They're not a part of our body. We try to get them to come to church, right? We want them to attend church. They begin attending. The next step, the next group, would be those who place membership. That is, they want to identify with the church. They want to step up in their service. They're a part of the group of membership. But then we all should be moving through this circles of commitment on to maturity, growing in Christ, and ultimately to ministry. Everybody needs to go from being uncommitted to being using their gifts and their talents to serve others. When you think about this commitment, Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2. In verses 19 through 22, he says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now, let me explain about membership and about what we're talking about in terms of being a member of the household of God. There's all these people out there in the world. We want to encourage and share the gospel with as many as we can. And we want to teach them that they need to believe in Jesus. They need to repent of their sins. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. Luke chapter 13, verse number 3. That they need to be willing to repent, which means they've got to turn from the selfish direction they're going, from living a life of sin, to being willing to turn and follow Jesus. That's repentance. They got to be willing to confess. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That is, confess that Christ is Lord, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. To say that they believe publicly that Christ is the Son of God and they want to make Him the Lord of their life. And then they need to be willing to be baptized, that is, immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, just as in the people on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter would say to them, "Let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." That day, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Everyone in all the world who chooses to put their faith in Jesus, repent of their sins, confess, and be immersed or baptized into Christ, becomes a member of the universal church of God, the church of Christ. They are members, verse 19 here, verse chapter 2, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's so very important. Let me say, very directly and simply, that if you've not done that, if you've listened, or you've heard sermons for years, and for whatever reason, you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never become a Christian, you've never become a member of the church, let me encourage you to realize that you need to be a part of the body of Christ, that Christ came to save and die for His people, and you need to be a part of His people. You want to be that people that we read about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, a chosen generation, a royal nation, a holy people. Please think about that. But then that's a commitment. I mean, that's a commitment that you're saying, I'm going to be faithful to Jesus all my life. But let me say this. If you've done that, maybe you did that years back, let me encourage you to realize that it's also important that you're a part of a local body of Christians. And let me encourage you that to want to be a part of our congregation here, our church, that is desiring to be the church we read about in the New Testament. And so we would understand that being a part of the church and being a member of the local church is important because it supplies accountability. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, The Bible says that the elders are to shepherd the flock of God. Now, obviously, he's not talking about that elders have an authority over the entire universal church, over the whole world. No. He's talking about the local congregation. And he's talking about that the elders have authority in that flock of God. They need to know, John 13, their sheep, or John chapter 10, they need to know their sheep. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says they are to pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. He's talking to the elders at Ephesus. To which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. And so let me encourage you to understand that there is membership as a Christian in the universal body of Christ, and that that happens when you believe and are baptized into Christ. But let me encourage you that there is value and there is importance in identifying and connecting with a local body of believers, a church. Now, it's not a biblical mandate, don't misunderstand me, that anyone has to, quote, place membership. But I think it's a very good practice, and I think it's a very necessary practice for the elders to know who's in their flock, for the church to know who is a part of the church, who's a member of the church. And so formal membership has a lot of value of identifying and saying, I want to be a part of the church. I want to mature in my ministry and in my maturity here at this location. And I want to be someone who can be used and serve at this location in whatever way the elders and the deacons want to use me, in whatever way I can be used. And so some might ask, well, Josh, what if I wanted to place membership here? How would I go about that? Well, first of all, we would ask, if we don't know you personally, we would ask, are you a Christian? And can we study with you about becoming a Christian? Because that's a necessary thing, to think about how you become a Christian. But if you believe and you have obeyed the teachings of being immersed into Christ to become a member of Christ's body, then it's very simple. You would want to talk to an elder or talk to me and say, you know, Josh, I would be interested in placing membership and identifying with the church. And typically that it is arranged for you to meet with the elders and just get to know them and talk to them and them get to know you. And then we announce that. And you've probably been here on Sundays when we've announced that this family, this individual placed membership and they want to be known as identifying with this church. And please view them in that way. And that comes with responsibilities for them and responsibilities for us to love them and care for them and to be accountable to them and for them to us. And so we want people to understand that membership is not about privilege, it's about service. And it begins with commitment. It begins with commitment. Of saying, I want to be committed to Jesus. And then choosing, I want to be committed to this body of believers. And I want to be committed to having the elders watch over my soul. And I want to be committed to these brethren and encouraging and helping them and developing my talents and my skills. But notice, secondly, not only does it begin with commitment, but it also means every member is a necessary part of the whole. Every member is a necessary part. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is dealing with the diversity in the membership there at Corinth. They had a lot of diversity in their church family. And Paul is making the point that all this diversity, all this various gifts, is not a cause for jealousy, but rather a cause for thanksgiving to God, because we need every one of them. And that's what he says in verses 4 and following. But if you look down to verse number 10, he talks about these various gifts. And then verse 11, he says this: all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now, he didn't say, now, there's the really important members and then there's the average member. He didn't say, well, there's the really good giving members and then there's the low giving members who just don't ever give. He didn't say there's the, as we often might think about in the church, there's the 10 or 15% who are doing all the work and then there's the rest of the members. It's not what he said, is it? And we don't need to believe those things. He said every part of the body is necessary. Every part of the body is necessary. Everyone is a member of the body. In fact, he's going to clarify this even farther when he talks about in verse 13, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. We're all Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. You mean even a slave who is in there with his master? Yes, Paul. They are each necessary in the body. They are equal in the body. For the body, verse 14, does not consist of one member, but of many. And then he uses a body analogy of a human body, talking about the foot and the hand and other body parts. And then he goes on in verse number 25. The purpose of this is that there may be no division, in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. We ought to care about each other. We ought to love each other. For if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now in chapter 13, he will speak about how this body is held together by love and love for one another. What I want you to know, though, is that every member of the body is necessary. Every member is necessary. You are valuable. One of the reasons why you should consider identifying with the local church and being committed to the local church is because the local church needs you, and you need the local church. You can play an irreplaceable role, because God has designated that you are important. And you may say, but Josh, I don't do near as much as someone else. You may say, well, Josh, I'm older now and I can't do what I used to do. Or you may say, Josh, I'm younger now and I don't have many of the talents that I see others have. What I want you to know is that you are necessary in the role that you can play, and that the body is not complete if you're not a part of it, that you can play a very valuable role, and that God wants every person to realize they are an essential part of the body. Part of that main part is that you are to love one another. You're to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, and you're to care for one another. I read this morning, one of my friends encouraging others said, you know, a lot of people are hurting. If you will stop and seek to love them, it can make a tremendous difference in their life. You know, that's a very simple thing, but you know, in the church, in the body, there's a lot of people that are hurting at times. And you are a part of that necessary part that can love people, that can care for people. You're not an accident in your role in this church. You're necessary in this church. But then thirdly, it means every member has a function. Now I want you to know that I really got into this sermon this week in trying to live it out. And I let, not purposefully, but foolishly, I let the horse step on my foot. I was looking up at the kids and I was leading Caleb on one of the horses and the other kids were riding the horse and kind of came up and I was looking at them and the horse stepped on my three smallest toes. Now, I don't think much about those three small toes. Normally, as life goes on, I don't really consider them. But for the last several days, in fact, you may notice today that I have a little awkward walk at times because they've been very bruised and sore. And it's been uncomfortable. Now, those are three little toes that you may think don't have much function. But when they're injured and when they're stepped upon, they cause a lot of pain and problems because they have a function and they're a part of the body. No member needs to be stepped on. Every member has a function in the body. And we also should emphasize that just as in the body, as Paul is illustrating here, the hand, the foot, the eye have different roles to play. That's Paul's simple point. The eye doesn't say to the hand, as Paul says, I have no use of you. But the eye sees things so the hand can grab things. We need to understand that every member has a unique function. Sometimes they overlap, but everybody has a function to play. And let me say this. You're not an appendix. You can't just be thrown out and it not make any difference. And you're not even, let me go one step farther. You're not even a small toe that just hurt you for a little while when it stepped on. I want everybody to know that Paul uses essential organs and necessary parts of our body. You are a necessary functioning part. And really, what Paul is saying is, if you chop off your hand, it's going to change your body and drastically affect you. If you pluck out your eye, it's going to drastically affect you. If you cut off your foot, it's going to drastically affect you. Because the hand, foot, and eye play an irreplaceable role. You have an irreplaceable role to play in the body. And so church membership is about service. It's not about privilege. We have to push the idea of the world out where we have an entitlement perspective and we think, hey, I should be getting things from this, and if I'm not getting something from it, I'm unhappy. It's a different kind of membership. This is biblical membership. This is church membership. This is about being committed. This is about playing a necessary function or role in the body. And so church membership is about Ephesians chapter 4. Every part supplying their portion so that the body can function appropriately. Paul says in verse number 16, from the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's our goal, that every part will work properly. And so as we think about taking church membership seriously, next week we'll have a second part. It's only going to be two parts. Next week we'll talk about what is a biblical church member and what should a biblical church member look like, so that we'll talk about the role and the function of a church member. But let me close by saying, I hope that you'll consider your church membership. I hope that, number one and most importantly, if you're not a Christian, you'll think about becoming a member of the household of God. If you believed in Jesus, but you've never taken that step and obeyed the teaching of repentance and baptism, that you understand that's necessary to do, that you need to put Christ on in baptism to to be like the New Testament Christians did. They were immersed in Christ. That you'll do that. But if you're not a part of our church, that you'll want to join us in our pursuits of wanting to practice New Testament Christianity and care for one another, and that you'll play an irreplaceable role here at Seven Oaks. And I want you to know that if we can talk to you personally about anything that we say, then please talk to us about that. We want to serve you, and we want you to be able to serve the Lord here at Seven Oaks. Because membership is not about privilege, it's about service. And we want you to be able to serve and bring glory to God. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we give you that opportunity as together we stand and as we sing.